Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
You are given a very special gift when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, an opportunity to start over, forgiven, restored, and free. Now let's join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for today's Thanksgiving Day special.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Happy Thanksgiving
yes.
Day. Glory to God.
Where's
Hallelujah.
The turkey? Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, we give you Thanksgiving today. We are so grateful.
We are so grateful to you.
We worship you today.
Praise you, Father.
We lift our hearts and minds
and
we open our ears to you today for your presence in this studio. We are so grateful in our hearts.
We give thanks.
In Jesus' name, and we praise you and we worship you. Amen.
Amen.
When you begin to thank God, the Bible says that giving thanks and praise will stop Satan. It'll steal him. It'll stop him, the scripture says. And when you're doing that, you just start doing that. And that depression, I'm telling you, I know from experience, it'll fly away like it is a bird sitting on your shoulder. It'll just go. And then you just praise God. And then you just start praising Him and worshiping Him in other tongues. And you just praise and worship and worship. I'm telling you, this is the life of a successful believer.
Yes,
praise is the highest form of prayer. Givings of thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles again today to Romans chapter 12. And our scripture there in the third verse, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith." And we found out from Mark 11:22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God," that the Greek text literally says, "Have the faith of God." So this is God's faith. It is on the inside of every born again believer. The same measure. We all start with the same measure. It is the same measure as Jesus. The difference between His and ours is development. He is the author and finisher or developer of our faith. Now, we found out that faith can grow. We found out that faith can be strong. We found out that Jesus said, "How is it you have little faith?" He said, "How is it you have no faith?" So we go all the way from no faith, strong faith, and so forth, and we discussed all of those. But now, yesterday we got into this, and this I don't know. This is so important. You can't get away from this. This is the commandment of the church. It is not optional. You understand? I don't care what you feel like. You're a born-again child of God. You don't have any business being in strife, unforgiveness, and so forth, because nothing works that you want. Faith doesn't work. Grace doesn't work. Mm-hmm. See, the scripture said, we don't take time to turn over there because we don't have time. Romans 4:16. "Therefore it is of grace that it might be by faith." It is of faith so that it might be by grace. So without faith, there is no grace, right? All right. Let's look right here at Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, faith which worketh by love." Okay, think about this now. No love, no faith, no faith, no grace. I'm telling you, sweetheart, you've got yourself in a place where
no
God
grace,
can't get through
you're to you. You're in trouble.
You're in deep trouble because you, God can't get through to you. He can't do anything for you. He can't do anything in you.
I'm gonna walk
it isn't
up.
He doesn't want to. Baby, he's crying out after you. He's doing his best to get it through to you. The Holy Ghost is talking to you day and night and day and night. I don't ever hear him. I know it. You get too busy fussing. If without faith, you can't hear God. That's the reason without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not because He's hard to please. The thing that pleases Him is being able to bless you.
Praise God.
He can't bless you in that kind of atmosphere. Somewhere you're going to have to humble yourself and you're going to have to obey the Word of God and just fall on your face just put your nose in the floor and say, I humble myself and I obey your words, Jesus, and I love. I love. I love. I'm not a condemner. I'm not a damner. I love. I love. I love. I got you in me. Your love has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. You've given me your love. I use it. I use it now, and love never fails. And all the time, you're just having to grit your teeth. But let me tell you something. You won't be there gritting your teeth. It won't take you any time at all until that demon that's causing that, there is a spirit of fear, spirit of grief. That spirit of grief is the spirit of depression. And all that comes through unforgiveness and fear. It's all fear-based. So now, faith worketh by love. It does not work in an unforgiving heart. It doesn't work in an unforgiving atmosphere. You're listening to other people talk about folks and all of that. Brother Hagin tells a story about back in the early part of his ministry, there was a fellow that had come to his church, and he's district supervisor, so he's supposed to know. And he mentioned something about this certain preacher, And so somebody came and said, Brother Hagin, was he referring so-and-so? And Brother Hagin said, well, yeah, I'm sure he is. That night, Aretha and her mother and dad had come down there, and they picked up the kids and went, drove over to their place. And so he had stuff to do the next day. He just stayed at home by himself. And he said that night he started to go to bed, and he said the whole room just filled up with light. He said, I mean, bright. And this voice came and said, who are you to criticize another man's servant? Brother Hagin said, Lord, I didn't criticize anybody. He said, who are you to criticize another man's servant? He said, is so-and-so your servant? He said, well, he ain't my servant. If he's anybody's servant, he's yours. But they thought this man had committed such a terrible thing that God, you know, wouldn't have nothing to do with him. He said, that's brother so-and-so, and just you agreeing is tantamount to saying it. Boy, he fell on his face, and he said, you repent or else. Well, see, God was grooming Brother Hagin back there then. I'm telling you, people didn't know most of these things back there then. And he's grooming him for the prophet's ministry. He didn't know it at the time, but he was. And you can't do these things. And this, you can't not get the results that you want to get. Now, we read this. We're going to take a look at this again in Ephesians chapter 4. And the 32nd verse, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, and we talked about yesterday, the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And in 17th chapter of John, when Jesus prayed, he said that the love wherewith you love me may be in them. And that was fulfilled then in Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. But I want to show you something here. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Now, Gloria, the word Christ, you remember Isaiah chapter 10, where it says, in that day His burden shall be lifted from your shoulders, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so forth. The anointing of God, which is the yoke, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, the word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which in English both words mean the anointing or referring to the anointed one. Now, this is so revealing here. God, for the sake of the anointing, we're the body of Christ, we're the body of that anointing. Hey. Oh. For the sake of the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power that is alive in you right now, you better get to forgiving and being tender-hearted to one another. Because you can't keep up with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put that away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for the sake of the anointing, has forgiven you. When you go to God and you say, oh, Jesus, I missed it. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. See, 1 John 1:9, the Scripture says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just or righteous to forgive us all our sins. Oh, Jesus, don't go to Jesus and say, you know, I got this problem. Oh, shut up. Get real. Just get down there and call it by what its dirty, nasty, filthy name. I committed adultery, and it's a sin, and I repent of it, and I receive my forgiveness, and I receive my cleansing of all unrighteousness.
Praise God.
And it's right then. It's right then. You just cast that guilty thing out right now. Amen. You don't have to earn your forgiveness. It's by grace. Now, for the sake of the anointing. Now, if it's a sin like let's say it, that it is adultery, and let's say you are in the ministry. Now, you need to deal with this properly according to the Scripture and what it says and how to do it. So, it could be all kinds of sordid things, but I don't have time to get into all that. But here's the thing. If you'll repent of that thing, right before God right now, you just get in there and repent and fall on your face and receive your forgiveness. Receive your cleansing in the name of Jesus. Now then, for the sake of the anointing, and you may not be in the ministry, but you've got the anointing. That anointing lives in
and
abides.
You've got to have it. You've got to have,
you gotta have it to live.
Wherever you are.
I don't care who you are. Whatever you are. Now, you go before. Now, listen to me. We don't do traditional things first. We go to wisdom first. Mm-hmm. And this. We know. Let me help you here for a moment. We know that God forgave you that moment. But you still got to deal with people. You're forgiven, but you've beat yourself up in that sin. It may have been once, might have been for 2 years. I don't know. I mean, that's between you and God. But You go to Jesus and you spend time. You get in the Word. You get these CDs, you get in there, you get the DVD, you go to total immersion. You go aside, you set yourself aside, you shut yourself off from anybody else. There may not anybody but God even know anything about all of this. But you set yourself aside, and I'm telling you, you get out of there. And you go set yourself aside, and you spend time with the washing of the water of the Word.
Yes.
And Peter said, purify your soul, your mind, your will, and emotion by obeying the truth, by acting on the Word. Wash that filth out of your mind. Wash that thing out. Now, God's forgiven you. He's blotted out. He don't remember it anymore. But you're going to have to do something about your memory. Now, you may have hurt some people here. You go before the Lord. Don't just jump out there and do it till He says do it. But when He says, you go repent. Then do what He says. Brother Copeland, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Oh, they'll do this, they'll do that. No. No, you don't know what they'll do.
That's right.
See? But God does. And I don't care if they kick you out of everything they've got. Leave. Get out. But you're right with Jesus.
You don't know what they'll do, but you do know what God will do.
Yes, you do. And you stay right with
Jesus.
He forgives you. And He'll help you with all that other. But now let me tell you something, sweetheart. You created this mess. But you're free from it. With Jesus, you're free from it in your own spirit if you fill your spirit back up with faith again. But I'm telling you, you get before God, don't you do anything without His wisdom. You don't say anything, you don't do anything. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. James 1:7 says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberty to all men, upbraids not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 1:30, it said, Jesus has made unto me wisdom. And then you go to the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th and chapters of Proverbs, and you read all of those verses about wisdom, and you act on them, and you believe them, and understanding, and it'll build up on the inside of you, and then you'll begin to know what to do. God told Joshua, you meditate in my word day and night, and you will see, you'll observe what to do, what's written therein. You keep your mouth shut and you don't do anything, but when you hear it from God, you get your strong self up and you go do exactly what He says. If it rips all of the skin off your flesh in Jesus' name.
Yes, oh God.
Whoa.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Somebody needed that today.
Thank you, Lord, for helping us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that people
Well,
help.
Glory to God. We got something you want to watch here. Lynn and Kathy Meek. Oh, glory. They've been with this ministry over 30 years.
Isn't that amazing?
How many? What was it, Tim? 39
they
years.
They grew up here.
Yeah, they did. 39 years. I tell you, it's glorious. We want you to watch their testimonies.
We are Len and Kathy Mink. We currently live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Both of our families were Christian families and we went to church, but we had never given our hearts to the Lord.
Well, we both had dreams. Len to be successful in show business, in singing, and me in modeling. This is before we knew each other. And the Lord allowed us to get that and to be successful. So I went to New York and I signed with a big agency there, which was a miracle. I came back to Cincinnati and where I lived, and Len had a television show there, secular television show, singing. And he was the biggest thing in town. His picture was on every bus. It said, Think Mink. And all the women were crazy about him, including my mother. She got tickets to the program, and I had to go with her, or she would have just never, you know, been able to take it. And so we were down there at the taping, and after the program, he asked me for my phone number, which I thought was the most arrogant thing. And I was pretty prideful myself, and there's no way I was giving him my phone number. I said no. And My mother gave it to him behind my back.
Oh, God bless her.
Seriously, she used to say, if you just marry a nice young man like that, can you believe it? Confession working even then.
In my career, I would go out on The Tonight Show and sing my songs, and Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Steve Allen, all the shows back in the day that young singers like to do on the way up the ladder, you know. And I shot a CBS pilot for my own network program. And that's about the time I became extremely advanced in my frantic search for significance and for peace and for the answers that I wasn't getting out of show business.
Because he was getting everything. He was going up, up, up to the network, you know, from a local CBS program, The Lynn Minx Show. He was on another show called The Nick Clooney Show, which was a talk show, George Clooney's father. And he was getting everything, but he was empty, and so
extremely
was I.
Empty. Yeah, she was too. So we met in that mutual emptiness and tried to love each other from the Hollywood perspective, the Babylonian perspective, and it didn't work because we were trying to find the answer for our vacuum,
yeah,
the filling of that vacuum in each other, and that wasn't possible because we had nothing to give. I sat on the side of the bed and loaded my shotgun, ready to take my life. I couldn't take it. I was just so empty, ready to go off into eternity without God. Put the safety off, turned the barrels around this double barrel shotgun, put my thumb on the trigger like this and was getting ready to take my life. And I prayed a three-word prayer. God, help me. That was it. Boom, the room lit up and a peace came over me. A peace exploded in the room like hot oil all over me. I threw the gun down on the bed. I stood up and said, you're here. You really heard me. You're really real. And 30 minutes later, I hear this knock on the back door, and here she is. I hadn't seen her in almost 3 months.
We had broken up.
And she's got a little New Testament in her hand and a glow on her face, tears in her eyes, and she said, I said, Kathy. She said, Lynn, I found what we've been looking for. And I said, what? She said, it's actually who we've been looking for. And I said, who? She said, Jesus. I said, where was Jesus? She said, at Barney's Hamburger Stand last night in Cincinnati. I said, what was Jesus doing at Barney's Hamburger Stand? She said, saving me. And
that's
tears
right.
Just went all over me and all over her. She came in and opened that little New Testament and shared the gospel with me.
But the thing is, we still weren't sure we were right for each other because we had broken up and gotten back together so many times. But while we were still trying to see if we were right for each other, I'd come into church and the usher would say, Lynn's sitting right over there, and try to take me to see. I say, I'm not sitting there, I'm sitting over there. And this went on.
Pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, because at first he wanted me to marry him. This is through our dating, and I didn't want to. Then I wanted to marry him and he didn't want to. And so there we were, back and forth. But after a few months, we just felt like the Lord had uncorked the top of our heads. And when we put him first, when we put Jesus first, mm-hmm, he poured his love into each of us. And then it could flow out to each other. And things started being right.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.